Area Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. And Bemidji State University is hosting a Native American Flute Festival this weekend. The experience kicks off Friday night with a concert that will include Native American flutes and drumming and dancing. And Saturday, there's a flute making workshop that goes on throughout the day. And here to tell us more about the weekend of spiritual and musical experiences are, well, Randy McGinnis is on the phone. He is a Native American Music Award winner, and he's a guest musician this weekend. He'll be flying in from Northern California. Janice Hayworth is here in the studio. She's a BSU professor who teaches music education and world music. And also in the studio is Kathy Towley. She's a woodworker, and you'll be part of the flute making experience on Saturday. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah, Randy.
Good morning.
Hey.
Yes, good morning.
Randy, could you start by telling us a little about the history and significance of the flute in the Native American culture?
Yes, well, there's several different paths that can go down, but the traditional is they started thousands of years ago playing whistles and bone flutes and reed flutes in most of the tribal cultures, and then it kind of advanced more into a wooden type flute that is really being played today. I know that's kind of a quick synopsis, but in our case, we played river cane flutes, black river cane, which is a natural cane that looks like a bamboo that grows on the creek banks and things in Tennessee and Kentucky area. So that's kind of a quick wrap up.
You're of Cherokee descent, and you were just talking about Eastern United States.
Yes, I was not born on the reservation, but my mother is Cherokee. My dad's mother is Cherokee. My dad's father came from Ireland.
Okay.
So that's all kind of a musical background. But I play the native flute, the native style flutes. Those are a couple of things you have to get in there is due to the arts and craft thing. If it wasn't made by a federally recognized card-carrying Native American, it's called a Native style. If it's made by one of those, it is a true Native American flute. So I have both. But kind of a thing people need to know about. So probably what we'll be making Saturday will be called a Native style flute. I don't know if they're tribal members that are actually making them or not, but if they are, it is a true Native American flute then. So.
Very good. Hey, what kinds of flutes will you be playing on Friday night?
Oh, they'll both. I'll have Native American-made flutes by tribal members, and I have ones that are a Native style type of flute. And during the workshop, I can identify the both. It's just they look the same, but it's just about the maker themselves. So, and the music I'll be playing is, since this is all about the flute, I'll stick more of a traditional style of playing, you know, because I have played with, you know, cello players, violin players, symphonies, all kinds of different musicians. Like the last CD I just recorded called Freedom's Hope is Bruce Turgeon's on there. He played for Foreigner for like 25 years. So those kind of different, it goes all over the realm, you know. So we'll see how the music goes in the workshop, and I can kind of lean towards that way so that they're getting to hear what they want to hear. So.
Yeah. When did you start playing?
It was hard for me to remember. Somewhere around four. my grandfather gave me a cane flute, and I surely know he regretted it until I was 10. It's like getting your kids a drum set.
Well, it sure paid off.
Well, yes, it finally did, yes.
Yeah.
But, those early. I wished I still had that little flute. It just didn't survive the journey.
Well, that's a long time, but
yes, it is.
So, how do flutes differ among tribal nations, or do they?
Some do, some don't. A lot of the Plains Indians out in the Dakotas, they like a raspy kind of sounding flute with a warble in it, and so I've been told. It kind of reminds them of the winds blowing through the prairie grass, you know. So, and I can see that for some people that really play it that way. Up in your area, there's a fellow named Kevin Locke, and he does an excellent job at doing that, you know. So playing that style and that type of music, you know. So it you can definitely hear the difference in it. Great difference.
I'm from South Dakota, and I know Kevin's familiar to me, and I know that sound of wind blowing through the prairies. It's kind of...
He's been such an ambassador. He goes around to all the schools, and he's a world champion hoop dancer as well. So he puts on programs at schools all the time. He really has been very unselfish with his time. Great guy.
Cool. So Friday night, there's a concert, and Saturday, there's a workshop. We'll start talking about... We'll talk about the workshop in just a second, and I want to focus a little bit on the concert Friday, and I'm going to ask Janice, you have a special place in your heart for drumming. Don Kingbird is coming to the concert Friday night. What can you tell us about him or the significance of the drum that you know?
My interest is more African drumming, but the native drumming is quite exciting and involves a lot of singing and communication from the dancers and the singer/drummers at the same time. This group is coming from Red Lake, and they're world-renowned, and it'll be very exciting and fun to hear, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah. What can people expect? Well, there's flute playing, there's drumming, there'll be dancing. What all can people expect Friday?
Well, it's not a powwow. This is a concert. And
right.
So we have actually an apprentice program, and we're, I think, more interested in explaining to people what they're hearing. And that'll be fun, and be a total sort of a mix of cultures. And I think it'll be enjoyable and understandable, which is our goal.
Yeah. Saturday, following this concert, Friday night, that starts at 7, there's the flute-making workshop. And Kathy, you've been instrumental in planning this workshop. Regular people with no woodworking experience will be able to make a flute?
That's correct. Some of them may have experience. Some of them may not. And so basically, yes, they're not going to make the total flute because it would take several days to go through that. But they're going to get to see exactly how they were made, the very first part of it, from the piece of wood, lumber, to the blank, to the drilling. There's a lot of procedures that go through that, in which we've been working on. So they're going to be ready for Saturday.
Yeah.
And it's... So basically, everybody is attends the workshop, they're going to get a flute. They're going to get to do the finishing part of it. So they are going to get a part of making these flutes,
okay,
as if they made them themselves. They will leave with a completed flute. It'll be drilled out, the mouthpiece. They're going to have a foot on it, and they're going to also, it's going to have a fetish. That's the that goes on top of the flute.
Okay, what's that mean?
The fetish is kind of these aren't traditional ones, but it's just a little piece that's on the top that covers so it plays properly so that the air goes through the flute to make the sound. What the fetish is going to be is actually a beaver, because this is being also sponsored by or part of Bemidji State University.
Oh, I see. So people could make it in a form of whatever they would like normally.
Right.
But because
normally,
this is a controlled experience.
Normally, if it is a true Native American flute, they pick a symbol. There is a symbol. There's a symbolism as far as what that fetish is.
Okay.
And it's like, this is one that I made when I took a class last fall. And I researched what I wanted and what it was going to mean something to me, the hummingbird. And so the hummingbird is on it, which goes back, if you research it in the Native American culture, there's got a lot of significance. So you're going to find different fetishes on top that might be the symbol of the tribe that this person comes from, this sort. Mm-hmm. But we did go with the beaver. So everybody's going to get the beaver. They're going to get the leathers to attach it to the flute. Everything that it's going to take, and they're also going to get the option if they want to accent it with any kind of wood burning. Some do, some don't. It's up to them. They'll be able to do that. If they don't want to do it, they want me to do it, I can do that. So they're going to get this flute. They're going to break for lunch, and then after lunch, they're going to learn how to play the flute, and that's where Randy is going to come into being.
I was just going to ask, will they actually get to play their flute?
Yes, Randy is going to teach them how to play their flute.
Yeah.
So, Randy, is it hard playing the flute? to teach somebody?
No, I always tell everybody, you know, if you can see thunder and hear lightning, I can teach you to play the flute.
Well, that's...
Think about it.
What are some pieces of advice that you give to people?
Well, it's really, it's an easy instrument to play if you just take your time. I have taught thousands of kids to play. I've donated tons of flutes to different kids. And to keep it going and keep it alive, one of the great programs is the Renaissance of the Native American Flute that R. Carlos Nakai had put on, and I'd worked with him at that, and we've taught lots of people. And now we have an organization, a web page. It's called flutetree.org. So I'm on the board there with the RC and the Gatliffs. They're all great people that's dedicated into keeping this instrument alive. And you can go to that web page, and there's tons of sheet music on there that shows you where to put your fingers so you can play songs. They've been tabbed out. And it was a tablature that was created by Nakai. And it works. There's just tons of songs on there. There's songbooks full of songs.
Interesting.
And it's free. You can go there and print them off, and there you are with some music.
So. Flutetree.org?
Yes, flutetree.org. A shameless plug, but it's free. And there's a huge requirement from me for the concert Friday night and Saturday is we have to have fun.
I like that, too. Could you talk?
Yeah.
I've been looking at images of flutes, and Kathy, you mentioned the leather strapping. Sometimes you see people playing the flute, there's the leather hanging from it. Does that mean anything? Is that symbolic?
Some of just the augmentation is your own personal decoration. A lot of times they'll tie in some sweet grass and things like that just to play prayer songs, you know. So this depends which tribe and what their beliefs are. But a lot of it is just personal decorations. And a lot of the type decorations that go on, and you were mentioning the fetish or the bird that goes on top. In the flute-making world out there, it's kind of like their fingerprint. You know, you can see one of those little fetish things on a flute that somebody's playing, you know, 50 yards away, and you can go, I know who made that flute. You know, mm-hmm. So it's kind of their signature. Now, some other ones that aren't out there in the performing world, they put fetishes on there for their own beliefs and prayers or tribal beliefs, which is done as well.
Wow, that's Randy McGinnis. You'll be able to hear him play Friday night, 7 p.m. at the Bangsburg Theater at Bemidji State University. I think if it's you ladies brought flutes with you.
Yes,
and
we
I
did.
Was wondering as we kind of fade out into the sunset, if you'd be willing to play a tune.
Kathy, and of course, folks around Bemidji Arts community would know Kathy as having had woodworking exhibitions.
Absolutely.
At the Bemidji Arts Center, now Watermark Arts Center. And she's got two flutes here on the counter with us that are works of art in themselves. And she picked one up, and it looks like she may be wanting to play.
Is this the one with the hummingbird or the...
This is the one with the hummingbird. This is the one that I did for the class that I took at BSU last fall. And if you notice, these are square. They're not round. The ones that we are going to be doing Saturday actually are round.
Okay.
Because we have perfected the technique as far as how to make them. So they're a little bit different. And so this one is square. And like Randy was saying, as far as the ornamentation that we put on the flutes, I picked something that meant something to me.
Yeah.
And that was the hummingbird. And this is made out of cedar. And what I would like to play, I should say try to play.
Yes.
Is the waving blanket, which is from the Dakota tribe. It's a welcoming song. It's got the significance of basically what the tribe will get together in a circle. And it's a welcoming. They'll be waving the red blanket. They may give that blanket to somebody or put it down on the ground that people can sit on it. Somebody leaves with that blanket afterwards.
Wow.
And so this is just, like I say, the waving blanket.
I'm looking at that and thinking how long the time that would go into... You're going to use some power tools Saturday, right?
Yes, I won't be, but there
the
will
The time
be,
yes. that go went into these things before the power tool
oh, right.
was
oh, yes.
exorbitant. You know,
it was. And like I say, and then this one was one that Dave made.
Okay.
And he picked the top was, this is something he sees as he looks out.
The moon and...
The moon rising or the sun rising with the pine tree. And this is a scene that we see looking out our front window. And so that's why he picked that one.
Very good.
And so that's his.
Well, here's Kathy Towley. And we'll be back in just a second. Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome.
Wow, and thanks to Janice Hayworth, Kathy Towley, Randy McGinnis. Thank you for getting up. Well, you already get up early. Thanks for taking the phone call this morning, and have a safe travels. Oh, but Kathy has one more thing to say.
I do want to mention, this was made possible through Region 2 Grant Council of the Legacy Foundation. Thanks to them. This was made possible, and I want to thank them very much for that.
So I know there's a waiting list right now to get into the flute making workshop. If somebody would want to contact and get on that list, where would they call?
They can actually call myself if they want. I'm going to give my cell number. I may regret this, but it's 612-219-3394. We do have a wait list, and it's a possibility that we may be able to open it to a few more people, but if you're not on that wait list, you won't have that chance. One little thing I do want to just quick like say, the Engineer Club at BSU, if you don't get into this workshop in the fall, if you're on that wait list, they'll contact you and they may be doing a workshop there where you can make the flute.
Great. So, thank you. Thanks, Randy.
Yeah, I'd like to add one thing real quick.
You
I know
got
you're
it.
Pressed for time.
You're fine.
But if you do some little snips to promote the program between now and the time it happens, if you want to use some of my music clips, you can play some of that if you'd like.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. And tell her hummingbird flute is called Walela in Cherokee.
There you go. She heard that. Walela.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Looking forward to seeing all of you, and I'll be in late Thursday night, but I'll be there all day Friday and all day Saturday. So come up and say hello if you're attending the show, and it'll be fun.
Thank you. Safe travels.
Yes.
Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota. Again, the concert is at 7 p.m., Bangsburg Theater, Bangsburg Fine Arts Complex at Bemidji State University.